This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Federal and state officials are conducting probes into for-profit colleges over concerns that schools are marketing career training programs that lack proper accreditation and that they are targeting low-income, even homeless, and even the developmentally challenged for enrollment. The for-profit colleges take advantage of government subsidies for higher education, but frequently they leave the students with poor outcomes and high debt. If you've been targeted by the for-profit colleges, give us a call. We want to hear your story. The number is 210-614-8980, 614-8980. And you can also email us your questions and comments to The Source at tpr.org. Joining us to talk about the situation, we've got Tina Kelly. She's with Covenant House International. She's also a former reporter for the New York Times. And David Halperin, he's a writer for republicreport.org. He recently wrote about a man who reads at a third grade level being signed up by a for-profit college to complete a law enforcement program. Welcome to The Source, both of y'all.
Thanks, David.
Thank you.
David, I've been reading your stuff, your fantastic reporting about the for-profit colleges, not only how they operate, but also what's going on in Washington, D.C. Why you seem to write with a lot of passion about this topic very extensively, very aggressively. Why? Why have you gone onto this issue so hard?
Well, I used to work at a think tank in Washington called the Center for American Progress, where I started the youth program, which was called Campus Progress, now called Generation Progress. And one of the issues that we worked on was higher education, making college more affordable, which is a big issue, and helping people to train for careers so that they can support their families, have good lives. And what we discovered was that a lot of money, a quarter of all the federal financial aid, was going to for-profit colleges, which had 13% of the students, and they were getting almost half of the student loan defaults. We started meeting these students. Because there was a fight in Washington about whether these schools should be held more accountable for the bad outcomes. And we met students whose lives were ruined. We also met a lot of very conscientious people who worked at these schools who could take no more the lies and deceit that were going on, lying to students, deceiving students, abusing students, and then lying to federal and state regulators about what these schools were doing. So I left the Center for American Progress 2.5 years ago, but this was the one issue I took with me. And I work on it part-time. I do some other things. But this, I'm not letting go of this because it's so important to our to students and to our economy.
So your most recent piece is about this man reading at a third-grade level, being signed up for a for-profit college to complete a law enforcement program. And a librarian, one of the staff members, resigned over this incident. Can you tell us more?
This librarian was teaching this young man, trying to get him through his assignments. This young man reads, she felt, at a third grade level. I've seen videos and listened to him talk and try to read, and he speaks very haltingly. He may well be developmentally disabled. He clearly was having a hard time, but they enrolled him at this school anyway, despite concerns by the initial staff member who spoke with him. He said he wanted to be a police officer. Now, I spoke yesterday at length with the spokesperson for Corinthian Colleges, which is the parent company of the school, which is Everest College, and their campus in Ontario, California, in Southern California. And he said, well, maybe with a lot of help, this student would have been able to actually get through the program. And I said, yeah, but do you think he could be a police officer? And he what followed was the longest pause in American history. And it finally said, well, he wasn't sure about that. But the point is, that's why he went there, and that's why so many of these people go to these schools, because they're trying to achieve a dream of building a better life. Even this young man, who clearly has a lot of challenges in terms of his development, his mental capacity. So my concern is that what's going on, and what there was a comprehensive investigation of this industry by Senator Tom Harkin, and there have been many other investigations, that some of the things these schools do wrong are they charge too much money, and they have sometimes low-quality programs, sometimes not so bad, but they're very expensive. And in addition, they admit students because there's so much pressure for them to make money and sign up new people. They refer to students as starts, pieces of business, or even asses in classes, that they sign up students that they know will not succeed in the program, and they go ahead and sign them up anyway because they want to deposit their federal checks, and if the student drops out or if the student graduates and doesn't build a career, the schools don't necessarily care. There's a lot of this going on, and this was a particularly stark and harsh example of taking advantage of somebody this way.
Just real quickly, you refer to the pupil as a young man. He's just to clarify, he's 37 years old.
Yes.
That's kind of long in a tooth to be thinking about starting a career in law enforcement.
Yes, and that's right. I mean, he seems like a young man because his posts, which I didn't quote exactly because I don't want anybody Googling them and finding him, are very childlike. He functions as a very young man. He's a 37-year-old man. He's not going to be a police officer, and that's what this conscientious librarian and another staff person who spoke with me anonymously said. He's not going to be a police officer. This is a cruel joke on him. He was having an okay time at the school because people were paying attention to him, but you could do that for a lot less than the cost of the program, which I should have said. It's a 2-year associate's degree in criminal justice. It costs $45,000. And the other thing that these staff members said was the student actually had no idea that he had incurred these obligations. He was paying about $150 a month to go there, but he didn't know that when he graduated, he would have loan debt of possibly, you know, $30,000 that he would never be able to pay off. But that's what these schools do. They are debt factories. Now, again, even at this school and at many other schools, there are good teachers, good students, people who do succeed, come out of it okay. But the point is, overall, these schools are not doing a good job for students, and they need. And what's going on in Washington is a huge fight about whether there should be stronger regulation. We can talk more. I don't want to filibuster.
Yeah, we'll get to that. I really need to bring in Kelly, Tina Kelly. So you're over at Covenant House. Tell me about Covenant House. You deal with low-income homeless children?
Yeah, we are the largest provider of services to homeless, runaway, and trafficked young people in the United States. We work with 50,000 young people a year, and we have seen a large number of kids coming through our programs who have been enrolled in for-profit colleges but have not been able to graduate, have not received the services that they were promised, and therefore fell into debt and in many cases became homeless because of the bill of goods they've been sold by these schools. So in particular, we write about one young woman who was paid $350 every 2 weeks to attend classes and work towards a certification in, as a medical assistant. She had been promised to get an internship so that she would be able to complete her course of study, and they never helped her get an internship. She tried on her own to get an internship. She had no luck. The promise of help with that was never fulfilled, and she ended up quitting the program with a huge amount of debt that they were trying to collect while she was living at a Covenant House.
All right, we're going to get more into that, how they're targeting homeless children, low-income children, with these programs at the for-profit colleges, and what can be done about that, and the money flow in Washington, D.C., and the attempt to regulate these for-profit colleges. We'll get to your calls also and your emails. This is The Source on KSTX, our number 210-614-8980. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. The for-profit colleges, they comprise the most rapidly growing sector of higher education, now enrolling 13% of U.S. college students. Today, the sector utilizes one in four federal dollars for aid dollars, accounting for nearly half of all student loan defaults. We're talking about how for-profit colleges are targeting low-income and homeless youth, and also even the developmentally challenged. We're talking with David Halperin. He is a writer for RepublicReport.org, and Tina Kelly. She's with Covenant House International. She's a former reporter for the New York Times. Kelly, tell me how the young people that you've come in contact with Covenant House, how this has impacted them. That did they have like a glimmer of hope that they were going to finally pull themselves out of this cycle of poverty, and only to be dashed, or did they just think this was a scam to begin with?
They went in good faith, thinking that they would get the education that they were promised. And the young woman I was speaking about earlier, who went for her medical assistant certification, she, you know, became homeless as a result of the debt she incurred. But she went on to get a job in another field. She just said to me, you know, it dashed my hopes of ever working in the medical field. And she was highly qualified, very intelligent young woman, but her dreams were basically crushed from this program.
And then the debt, that's not going to go away.
No, it makes it very difficult for them in the future to get more student loans, more federal student loans. And if they go into default, which they often do, it makes it very difficult for them to ever get a mortgage or a car loan or any of the other things they need to get their lives in order.
And student loan debt can't be wiped out through bankruptcy. It's there.
Right.
All right. We online on our Facebook page, Cheryl writes in, this is past due. Remember, this administration tried to tighten rules a few years ago, but lobbyists, including the Washington Post company, watered it down to almost nothing. So, David, you've written about that, the Washington Post and their connection with for-profit colleges.
They have every lobbyist in town, said Senator Dick Durbin. People like former Senator Trent Lott, former Senate Majority Leader, is a lobbyist for the for-profit colleges, as well as many prominent Democrats. Former Congressman Dick Gephardt has been a lobbyist for Corinthian Colleges, the very school that admitted this 37-year-old mentally disabled man. So they have every lobbyist. Don Graham, the publisher of the Washington Post until last year, the CEO of the Washington Post company, was one of their biggest lobbyists. And they lobby relentlessly, not only did they get the previous rule watered down, but the reason that we're back fighting about it again is because then they went to court with Gibson, Dunn, and Crutcher, the most powerful litigation firm in the world probably, and or one of the most skilled, and they got the rules actually struck down by a judge because one component of it, there wasn't an adequate explanation according to the judge. So the Department of Education has now had to rerun, you know, at great expense, the entire procedure and produce a new rule, which is actually, the good news is it's slightly stronger, not strong enough, than the previous rule. But the industry is already planning. I obtained documents that showed they're already getting ready to sue to overturn this rule if they can't get it overturned in Congress. They have no good arguments. What they have is money. And the biggest thing they can do is give money to members of Congress, which they do, and then those members of Congress call the White House and say, you're moving too fast. They have the entire Republican caucus in the House locked up for that, and a good, surprisingly large number of Democrats as well. Doesn't make any sense, because the Republicans should be for more accountability and against waste, fraud, and abuse with our tax money. $33 billion goes to this industry every year, and the Democrats should obviously be for protecting opportunity of low-income people. But on both sides, money often triumphs, and money is the biggest force that is preventing accountability for this industry.
Representative Virginia Fox, a Republican from North Carolina, she's a Tea Party Republican. She's the chair of the House Education Committee, and she has received $800,000 in campaign contributions from for-profit colleges.
And she, at an event last year, compared people who tried to regulate the for-profit colleges to the Holocaust. That's the kind of allegiance that you can buy with money. And it's true. There are many members of Congress who are in this, you know, even some liberals who are in thrall of this. One congressman, Alcee Hastings from Florida, good number of members from Florida get paid by this industry. He was the graduation speaker at a school called Fast Train University. Fast Train was raided by the FBI last year and shut down for systematic fraud. And Fast Train was one of these schools that we talk, you know, similar to what Tina was talking about. They were recruiting in strip clubs. They would go down in South Florida, and they, according to one thing I read, to have attractive women in a convertible drive around looking for men at strip clubs and just on the street and bring them in and sign them up, including for criminal justice programs where many of these men who are former felons would never actually be eligible for most of the jobs, but they'd sign them up anyway.
All right, Tina, I know you were trying to jump in there, and I didn't get you in there. Tina, what were you saying?
Oh, sure. I just wanted to put the federal dollars in perspective, and I'm always questioning where's the outrage on the amount of money that's spent on some questionable programs. $33 billion, as David said, goes to for-profit colleges in student aid. The entire federal budget for runaway and homeless youth programs is $114 million.
Right, so that is definitely shows you that where the dollars are going and how they're being spent. On our Facebook page also, Gus Martinez writes, "No doubt, the one and only time I ever had a look at these joints was shortly after I left a four-year college and needed to gain some practical skills. The place's offerings impressed me, but when it came time to sign, I asked what the tuition was. The school's rep refused to say by saying I'd undoubtedly get financial aid, loans, so there was no need to worry about that, and he didn't want to rack up any more student loan debt, but he made him very suspicious of the way the schools operated." Let's get callers in on the conversation. Our number is 210-614-8980, and Keith has called in. Keith, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you very much. I really don't know where to start with this, because I've had personal experience with a for-profit school here in the state of Texas back in 2006 and 2007 that hit all the buttons that your guests have touched on, plus a few more. And just in terms of pre-qualifying, well, let me give you the background a little bit so that you understand how sensitive this is. The school was the first ever attempt by private industry to respond to the FAA administrator's comment in a conference in 2005, asking the question of those in attendance, is it possible the private industry could take a person with zero knowledge and train them to become an effective, successful air traffic controller so that by the time that they were accepted by the FAA, that the FAA could train them to safely operate in their profession up to what's referred to as an ATC level 6 facility, which would be like San Antonio International here. One person decided to go back and give that a whirl, and it started right here in the San Antonio Metroplex, specifically New Braunfels. The issue with this is that they did not have the tools that were necessary in order to produce what they thought that they could produce, specifically virtual simulation. It's a $1.3 million investment, and there were only two companies in the United States that could do that.
Right.
The pre-screening for students wasn't successful in the sense that I had one person in there that had a drug problem. I had another person that had color deficiency that would not have passed the Federal Air Surgeon's requirements under 65 CFR.
Right. So
paragraph 200.
So Keith, I got to speed this up a little bit, but so you're just outlining, just showing us how this is not going to work. This was for air traffic controllers, you know, people who, you know, lives are depending on them to be able to do their jobs. That's a scary situation. Keith, thank you for that call. Appreciate that. Kelly, what kind of jobs? You talked about nursing, and what else are people being told that they could qualify for when they go through the programs with that you're familiar with?
A lot of them go to business programs. They want to get a business degree. And what they don't realize is if they go to a community college, they can get a very comparable education for a fraction of the incurred debt. We have a program, our educators at our Covenant House shelter in New York, for example, counsel the young people to consider community colleges rather than for-profit colleges. I know New York City itself runs a program called Know Before You Enroll, and that gives a lot of description on the kinds of questions you need to ask if you're asked to enroll in a particular college. You should never enroll the day that you first talk to a college. You should be suspicious of places that don't ask for particular tests or provide you with very quick entry exams that are relatively meaningless. And you should also be concerned about schools that promise you a high school equivalency diploma along with your college education, because those tend to incur very heavy debt for kids who are able to get that general equivalency diploma for much less money, if not for free.
Okay, another caller to get on the air. Josh has called in. Josh, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm calling from a couple of different perspectives. I was a student at junior college, and I know that your experts there are referencing the junior college and their mission from being a bit of a safer choice. But after graduating, I went on to a four-year degree, got that taken care of, and actually went back and worked as an academic advisor for that same junior college. And it was there that I learned that that from an academia perspective, I actually think I got a really good deal for, you know, going to class, learning from teachers. And I think the teachers had great motivations for being there. But as an administrator, the for-profit versus not-for-profit paradigm seems to be exactly the same. It's all about the 12th class day in the state of Texas. And so every student that's enrolled in the class on the 12th class day, that's when official rolls are due, you get federal and state dollars for every student.
Okay.
So that's all they care about.
All right, Josh, thank you for bringing that up, and I'm going to get David to respond to that. So it's always a numbers game, David, even at the at junior colleges.
Well, I certainly am not defending the other sectors of education. They need a lot of work. And, in fact, you know, with budget cuts and with just decisions we've made in this country, there isn't a lot really out there in the other sectors welcoming people who are looking for careers, not to study Shakespeare, but to be a nurse, to be an electrician. Nursing, yes, they're good programs, but a lot of other things. It is hard to find career education programs. We're not doing it well in the high schools. We don't have a good system of apprenticeship. What we have is these for-profit colleges that not only are welcoming you, but they're relentlessly recruiting you and trying to get you to sign up. But again, the problem is their price is way too high. We need to restructure this. If we could get some of these bad schools that are ruining students' lives out of this business, we could take some of that money and figure out ways to really have a serious effort, a serious conversation. How do we train people for careers? That's what we need to do. Instead,
But David, what about linking some of these politicians with these practices? I mean, even Bobby Jindal, in his recent newspaper column, was trumpeting the for-profit colleges.
And it turns out his brother is one of the lawyers that's out there defending them. And I don't know if Bobby Jindal's taking money from this industry, but yes, targeting them, that's what I've been doing. I've written a book, Stealing America's Future, which is about this, which is about how these lobbyists are in there.
And David Halperin, thank you so much, a writer for republicreport.org, and Tina Kelly with Covenant House International, former reporter for The New York Times. Thank you for joining us and getting us up to date on the for-profit colleges. This is The Source on KSTX.